What's up? What's up? Fire. What we got? Yeah. Man, I think it's a combination of having talent, but also having just the right amount of character and chemistry with those guys. Having the right amount of leaders, guys who are vocal leaders, and as well as leader, guys who led by example, coaching, ownership. It wasn't just players. It was Pat Bowlen. It was Mike Shanahan's, coming in, his system, and him coming in, really having an idea of what a championship team looked like. He came from San Francisco. He'd already won a Super Bowl. So he built that team in sort of the likeness of that Niners team. And, you have guys who weren't high round draft picks. And he allowed it to be an open competition where he didn't say, okay, because you were a second round pick or because you were the incumbent running back, that it was your job. He allowed people to compete for that. And I thanked him for that because it allowed me to work hard and then ultimately be a starter. I've never seen Marcus play, but Marcus' name was so big around San Diego. You know that when I grew up, I thought he was around. That's how much they talked about Marcus Allen. And I realized that when I was younger, he wasn't there. He was already off to USC. I think he left in 79 to go to USC. Don't quote me on that year, but I believe I was pretty young. But, yeah, so his legacy stayed there so long that everything Marcus did, I tried to do. Marcus played for Valencia Park. I went to VP. Marcus played for Lincoln. I went to Lincoln. I didn't go to USC because I couldn't go. But, yeah, no, Marcus was Marcus was the guy in San Diego. And yeah, that's going to be sweet, man. We talk about all the time how special that is for Lincoln High School and our high school coach. We had the same coach there, big player. And so get a chance to talk about him. He's not here. And I know he's looking down. He's proud to see two of his guys, in the Hall of Fame. And that's just a special moment.
How does it feel to get into the Hall of Fame and being there with Marcus Allen and the rest of the great running backs and going in with LT as well?
It's a feeling that I can't describe. I'm trying to put it into words, but I can't. I've been in the last 2 days. You're walking around and you see all these guys with these gold jackets and you're trying to figure out, okay, and you see some guys you recognize, but you're trying to figure names and what era they played in. And I'm like, I got to brush up on my history, man, because these guys that you're in the room with, that's who they are. It's history that you're watching. And, I'm honored to be in the same class with LT and Kurt, but I'm blessed to be on the same team with all these other guys, and that's a team for life. And it's more than just football. These are guys who are teaching you life lessons, guys who are there who genuinely care about you as a person. And so it's been so great today, man. I didn't know what to expect coming in here. I thought it was going to be a little hazing going on. But no, it's been welcome to the family. The respect level is through the roof. And the biggest thing I noticed was there's a lot of ego. No, this is a good thing. And a lot of alpha males. But in that room, there are no egos. It's interesting to watch that, where you see guys who they all are power. They're all alpha males, but I'm looking around where everybody has respect. There's nobody trying to outdo the next person in terms of, trying to be noticed or trying to belittle anybody. It is amazing to watch this. And so, again, I'm just taking it all in and enjoying it. Yeah, I talked to John. He told me that it's going to be, I'm going to be nervous. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be nervous. But he also told me that it's a process that they're gonna make you feel comfortable, and he was absolutely correct, and he says enjoy it. It's going to happen fast, and so far it's gone pretty quickly, so that's what I'm gonna do. Enjoy it. Oh yeah, we just talked about that, Marcus. Yeah, we always talk about that. We're proud of that, man. We're proud of being two guys, not only from San Diego, but Lincoln High School. And he has an interesting, I think it's a stat. I don't know, it may or may not be true. I think it is, though. The only two guys from the same high school who are Super Bowl MVPs, league MVPs, Hall of Famers, but neither one of us played running back in high school. Yeah, he got real specific. Neither one of us played high school running back. Yeah, I was nose tackle and fullback. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope so. And deep down inside, I know so. But because he wasn't there to see it, and he wasn't. And my whole life, basically, I've been playing the game, and I've been trying to. I'm the youngest of six boys, and I think part of why I play, well, I know it. Part of why I played and was trying to play was for my dad, and he was hard to please. He was hard to please in terms of saying I'm proud of you. So I think he is though. Yeah, I think he is. Right. A few things, and I'll tell you during the speech, but. You know, just playing football and sports was sort of like that. I don't know. It's like it's the place you got to be when you're off the path, and it puts you back on path. You know, it requires responsibility. You got to get good grades. You got to be there on time. You're around teammates, coaches, mentors. So it puts you in a different environment. And I decided that I had to get back in that environment because otherwise I was going so far off the path. That it was getting dangerous for me. So football was sort of like that safe haven for me to go back and play it. And I loved the sport, but at that time when my dad died, I felt if he could die, then like why am I living? I just felt like something was taken away from me, and I couldn't understand that. And so I just kind of quit on life for a second, until I had an incident, and then I kind of just, it woke me up. And I was like, I have to get back to playing football. I was staring down the barrel of a shotgun. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But who said that? 4 good years? No, who said that? Okay. We were just talking
about the postseason is your special circumstance,
isn't it? No, I think everything is. I think that the amount of time I played, it's unique. It's unique. But I'll say to anybody who says that, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't fight anybody for it. Like, and that's fine. I mean, I'm sure I didn't get every vote in that room. So I don't have an issue with somebody saying that. I mean, thank God he doesn't have a vote, whoever said that. That's the good news. But, no, other than that, listen, I get it. I understand the arguments, the good news, Mike, is that I don't have to answer that question anymore. That's the great news.
You played long enough, right?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently.
Seeing that response, it looked like the competitive juices started flowing again. Just when you hear somebody challenge you, you can't see the Hall of Fame.
I don't think I do. I'm not the type of guy that's driven by what somebody says and what somebody else does. I believe I'm sort of a self-starter. Internally, I can get myself going. I don't need anybody else to do that for me. I'm honest when I say that I don't mind if somebody says, I shouldn't be here. Because you are entitled to your opinion, and that's fine, and that's what makes sports great. And again, I'm sure everybody in that room didn't vote for me, so there's other people who feel the same way. But at the end of the day, I had enough votes to get here, and that's all that matters.
Terrell, what's your thought on just being in the same class as LaDainian Tomlinson, and what kind of running back?
Oh man, this I couldn't ask for a better classmate. Growing up in San Diego, I'm sort of San Diego's my second team. Well, I ain't San Diego no more. It's L.A. But watching the Chargers for a long time. So I watched LT, same division, always watched him, respected his game, loved the way he played the game, loved the way that he represented the Chargers, represented the community. So to be in the same class with LT is awesome, man. You know, and so I know him personally. That makes it even more sweet. So, yeah. And the fact that it's another running back, because I didn't think that it would happen with another running back. So I think this is a unique circumstance. I believe it happened one other time. I believe it was Emmitt and in Florida, I believe, right, if I'm correct. So, you know, it doesn't happen often. So I'm enjoying it.
You kind of see the game have a rebirth at run with the workhorse running backs when you see a guy like Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. And obviously, yeah. Peterson kind of seems like the running back yeah. more appreciated again.
I never thought it was like they didn't appreciate the running backs. I thought it was more so. I don't know if it was like the appreciation. I just felt like the game in terms of how long you can practice. You know, a running game is not one you can just go to mini camp and then go to camp in shorts and T-shirts and then think you're going to be successful. You've got to practice that game with pads on, and it requires a lot of repetitions of hitting. The synchronizing plays, you know, with backs with linemen. It's like an orchestra. I mean, all these parts have to work together. And if you just come out there and say, okay, we're going to throw a run play in, let's just get it back and just try to run, it ain't going to work. So, but now what they're doing, and even though they don't have the time still, I think what they're doing now is realizing they've got to find other ways to try to get the running game working. And I think secondly, because the quarterback play that's coming from college is not as good as it used to be, you've got to find a way now to start running to preserve that young quarterback now. And I think they're recognizing that.
Are you surprised that the small number of Broncos that are in the Hall of Fame, especially maybe from the era that you played, do you think there should be more?
Yeah, I think there should be more. I mean, Steve Atwater, I think Tom Nalen's another guy that can probably get there. Jason Elam might be another guy that we play with. I'm rooting for Rod Smith to go in. And then our owner, Pat Bowlen. So those are the ones that I'm looking at right now that I play with that I certainly think at some point they'll all be in.
Did you ever have to get up at 2 in the morning?
Yes, Elliot, I did. Yes, with you, my friend.
Yeah. Do you think that what's happened here with the Hall kind of finally opening its doors for you, and the whole thing about the short career is going to help out guys like Priest Holmes, yeah. You and I have talked about before, Calvin Johnson, these guys that were at the top of their game but maybe didn't have the be able to collate the stats over 10 or 12 or 13
years.
I think this will help.
You know what, Elliot, I hope so, because for me, Gale Sayers was that guy that everybody compared me to. Now the precedent is set already that the voters are now looking at careers and the quality of it and not necessarily how long you played it, which is a great thing for the Hall of Fame. And I think it should be based off that, you know, based off how well you played while you were playing. Priest Holmes was nice, you know. Priest was nice.
Never talked about.
But the injuries to him, same as myself, shortened his career. But you look at the numbers. I think they're comparable to mine. You know, not necessarily the postseason numbers, but his regular season numbers are awesome. So, yeah, so I certainly hope so. I like Priest. I root for him, and hopefully one day he'll be wearing that jacket too.
Is there something to be said for an exclusive club? Everybody can't get in.
Yeah.
Right? And the numbers are there each year. But you got 7 people in this class this year. We're still talking about, hey, it took so and so this long. What about the exclusivity of the Hall of Fame and the standards that apply when it comes to selecting?
Well, you know, that's what makes it special, because everybody can't get in. But when you're on the other side, you're like, can't they just open up the floodgates and just, you know, uncork that clog? And then once that clock gets released, then they can start to buckle down a little bit. Because I was hoping that would be the case before I went in. So now you're like, you know, maybe they should slow it down a little bit now. Slow it down. No.
Well,
thank you.
When you hear studies that come out about CTE,
yeah.
Other effects of head injuries, How do you process that as a guy who, you know, gave it all up?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I can't lie. We're all scared. We're all concerned because we don't know what the future holds. You know, when I'm at home and I do something, and if I forget something, I have to stop to think: is this because I'm getting older, or I'm just not using my brain, or is this because of what happened as an effect from playing football? I don't know that, and so I'm scared. You know, so I try to stay as active as possible, try to keep my mind as sharp as possible. But I also know that the game has gone through great lengths to change the game from the Pop Warner to the pros. And so people ask me the question, will you let your kids play football? I'm like, yeah, I will. You know, now 10 years ago, I may have said something differently, you know. But now the way they're teaching the kids to tackle, the fact that they identify concussions a lot faster. They sit you out of plays. You don't practice as long. Just all that stuff is helping the game of football. But back to your question, yes, I'm concerned.
Well, you think one of your signature moments came in the Super Bowl when you had the migraine.
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
Concussion per se, but it was still.
It may have been a little. No, I think about that moment a lot because if they had the rules in place then, I don't go back into that game. And that changes a lot. That changes a lot. I mean, am I here at this podium? Yeah, so thank God they didn't have that back then. Yeah, yeah. Did Neil tell you that? You know what? Yeah, I remember I was done, and I got a call from, not from me, but I think it went to my agent inquiring about me playing for him. Man, I was honored, man. Yeah, I mean, it just reminds you, because I had just left the game, so I wasn't quite sure about my career at all. It was still new. I never really processed it. But when I had another coach asking about me to play, it made me feel good, I can tell you that. No, no, no. Well, if I was healthy, hopefully I would have been in Denver still, you know. Yeah. I couldn't play.
They have some of your high school gear on display over there in the Hall of Fame right now. What are some of your best memories from your early days, your high school days?
High school days, I played nose guard. I remember blocking kicks. I remember playing in games where guys were bigger than me. And I love playing nose guard. And I think some of what I did in high school, it certainly helped me out later. Just for two reasons. I think the physical battling in the trenches as a defensive lineman allowed me to get pretty good upper body strength and be able to just, you know, leverage and power and all that stuff. I think secondly, knowing how defensive linemen think. You know, if it's a two-gap scheme, it's a one-gap scheme. Knowing, okay, how do you attack that? When I see a guy, you know, a two-gap scheme, he's going to try to get you bench press, and he's going to try to look into gaps. Well, you got to press that hole hard so he doesn't throw early. And so I think kind of that, I think that helped me out when I was a running back, knowing how those guys would pursue and how they did the gaps. And then I played fullback, too. So when I went to Denver, a lot of what I played was I did a lot of run blocking. And that's one of my most proudest accomplishments for me was learning how to block or being a blocker. And so I took great pride in blocking.
Yeah. Now that you're in the hall and you've got that buzz and future fans walk through and they see that, what do you want them to say about you? How do you want to be remembered?
Man, just a guy who played the game, just how I played it. You know, and to me, another thing for me is my teammates. And I'm proud to say, and look whoever's next to me, look them in the eye and know that they got the best out of me when I played. I wasn't trying to cheat the game or cheat them or take plays off or have games where I don't show up. So that's all any player can ask for is do your best. Bring your best to the table. And whatever happens, happens. I'm proud to say that I did that. And the results, I can't control results. Nobody can control results. Only thing you can control are your actions. So when somebody looks at me and says, man, this guy played, when he played hard.
True.
Yeah.
When you look back on your entire football life, what was like a lowest point for you that now where you are today, you would never expect that you would ever be here?
When
you first started playing.
Like Pop Warner?
Well, yeah, your whole football life.
Oh.
It's kind of a tough question. Is there one point where you're like,
well,
you ended up here?
Yeah, there's a few points. I mean, the first one is when I lost my dad. You know, when I lost my dad, I quit playing football. So there was no way I saw myself here when that happened. That's one. I mean, yeah, that would be the one.
But
yeah, I do. So you trying to take me there, man? Y'all trying to take me there? Y'all trying to take me there, man? I don't know. What do you see, why you do that? I hope, you know, I hope my dad would say he's proud. That's it, you know. I grew up, my dad was, you just want to play for him, you know. So I think he's proud. Yeah, I think he's proud. I hope he is.
TD, is there a favorite moment that you had with the Denver Broncos? Something that just stands out more than anything else?
The play that always comes out, it just comes in my mind. It's always, I don't know, it's like the last play of the game, Super Bowl 32, when John Mobley knocks the ball down. It just that seems to just replay in my mind over and over again.
So that was the defining thing, your favorite moment?
Out of everything that's happened, that play seems to replay in my mind more than any play. And I guess what it represented the culmination of a season that we started in training camp, and I remember telling somebody, like, why not us? Like, why not us? Why can't we win a Super Bowl? And then you go through a season, and you have ups and downs and failures and setbacks and all this stuff, and then you get to this game that you're not supposed to win, and you're fighting through this game. I get a migraine headache in this game, and I miss a quarter. And so when it was over, it was like, it's over. Like, there's no other play. We've accomplished what we set out to accomplish, and isn't this what it's all about, right? It's winning this game. So that play stands out a lot.
Thanks, TD. Congratulations.
Thank you. Impossible. Just for me, but, you know, because we've seen, you know, Marcus Allen do it, it gives you hope. But I got to be honest with you, I've never thought about it. The Canton was never on my radar. It was never something that I played for. I never did anything to be here in my mind. I just try to play the game the way, enjoy the game, play it, be responsible, and just hope that if the coach called my number, that I made him feel good about that call. You know, I felt responsible. Like, when somebody says, we're going to give you 25 carries a game, they're not throwing away 25 carries a game. They're giving me 25 carries because they believe you can do something with it. And I took that to heart. I felt responsible that I had to make something happen with 25 carries. And to walk out of a game where the results were there and we won a game, then I was like, okay, you know, I feel better about that. And that's all I tried to do. Oh, I say first was Marcus Allen because he was the closest thing there. I was a Chargers fan, so running backs like Chuck Muncy, you know, with the funny bar. James Brooks was one of the running backs there. Lionel Littletrain, James, but all the Chargers: Dan Fouts, Kellen Winslow, you know, John Jefferson, Wes Chandler. I was just a Chargers fan, so I was inspired by all those guys. As a matter of fact, one time I was in high school, and I was rehabbing a shoulder injury, and I was in a clinic. Well, it was the same clinic that they went to rehab. And I remember just sitting in there and watching these Charger players come through. And I didn't say anything, but then they started talking to me. Because I would see them. I was there for a week, and every day I would go there, they noticed I was there, and they would just start talking to me. And I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world to see these guys just talking to me. And I was inspired by that. Another guy who inspired me growing up was Reggie White. And I met Reggie White in San Diego. And when I met Reggie White, I met Reggie as a minister, not a football player. I didn't know he played football. Right, and so he did a little sermon, and we were there with our with a group of kids, and then they announced. Well, they told us he was a football player, sort of afterwards. And I was like, I know he was big, but I had never seen a football player like Reggie White, you know, in terms of that this man was a minister, and what he was giving back, and how he was inspiring kids and people at that session was incredible.
Teeny, yeah. Much lighter note. I was just messing with Jason Taylor. Asked if he's going to now have the most handsome Hall of Fame bust.
I think so.
You think so, right?
I saw it. It's nice. Yeah, he's handsome. Yeah, he's handsome.
So he's being modest when he says no.
No, it's Jason. It's Jason. It's certainly not me, but it's Jason. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who else?
You go around grading the looks of the bust?
I'm not against that. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I'm comfortable. So I'm comfortable. You know, Howie Long, probably top five. Jerry Rice, a handsome guy.
I think I have the structure though, the high cheekbones, the all the ridges in the head. I have more character on the face and the head. But Jason would take home the. Well, I don't know. Maybe Kurt.
Ooh.
Maybe Kurt.
That's a good point.
Maybe Kurt.
Well, you guys are competitive, right? Like
apparently I'm looking right at Shannon on the shelf. Apparently, I don't. Yeah. So, did you tell me that? Someone told me
that I'm still.
He's that way. Okay. All right.
He's gonna think you're checking sleeping. Him out, right?
Yeah. You're not sleeping in there.
No, because he's gonna be talking all night. Got to shut him up.
You were here for his induction, walking around
yeah.
in the tents and everything.
I did.
I asked a couple of questions like, what are you thinking about? And you were saying, I'm thinking I want a chance that I deserve to be in. How hard was it for you to wait from then till now?
It's tough. Every year you get asked a question and you say, well, if it doesn't happen, I'm fine. Life goes on. It doesn't change how I feel about it. Those are lies. They're lies because you can't. There's nothing I can do about it.
Teddy Fred Yates of Global Radio Network out of Columbus.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things I used to love about you is that when you scored a touchdown, you just turned around and gave a mile high salute. Yeah. Where did that originate from? How did you come up with that? You know, as far as you know, when you got in the zone, that's what you were going to do. I mean, yeah. That was always a favorite moment.
It was just simply a sign of respect. That's it. It was just my appreciation for service, men and women, and. I always thought about the mentality that you have to play the running back's position. And I said, you've got to have the same mentality as a soldier. And so that's what I adopted that salute as the thing that I would do to my teammates, the running backs, as a sign of respect when I scored.
You started it?
Yes.
It was Corey Dillon, by the way. Said that.
Oh, yeah. That's fine, man. Hey. He's got a great point. Matt, I went on a show, and I was beating the drum for Corey Dillon. So,
were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it hasn't changed my stance on him. I still think he should be there. Yeah. I like him. I liked him when he was coming out of Ohio State. I mean, you can tell he was going to be something special. And then he came out his first year and proved that. So, obviously, if he just keeps the off-the-field stuff at bay, I think he'll be fine. The world. It means a lot. It means a lot. To me, that's more so than anything, the relationships you build in the sport and the respect that people have for you and the love they show you, that's what it's all about for me. If you talk to most players and you ask them, you can have all the reporters write all the reports they want to about a person, but when they get a compliment from a teammate or an opponent or a coach, it carries a lot of weight. So to have my friends and coaches come back to see me in this moment, it means the world to me. Oh, man, I was talking to him the other day, and just to kind of look at our team then when we were playing, we knew John was going in. You kind of knew Shannon was going in. You knew Zim was going in. But our teams were successful. We had we won a lot of games, and there's a lot of guys on that roster, in that lineup, that should be here. And they're guys who have unique stories. You know, I think Rod Smith should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be here one day. man was undrafted. You know, Tom Nalen was a late round draft pick. I think he should be here. I think Jason Elam, Steve Atwater. So it's getting better for us because now we can meet up at places like this. But we hope it gets better with the other guys to hopefully follow soon. And so that's what we look forward to. I hear him over there, man. Kenny's pretty quiet around everybody else, but I hear him over there. He's having a good time.
Did he talk any trash to you?
The great ones don't have to talk trash. He don't have to say anything. He has everybody else talking trash for him. Yeah, I went back and watched some of Kenny's highlights. It's real. It's real. The man, he's a hitter. He's a hitter. He was born to play. He was born to hit. And you always say he was in our division, so you don't want to see a guy like that. I'm glad I didn't have to see him.
There's not a lot of offenses that have four Hall of Famers on the side of the ball. Where do you rank you guys all time?
In offenses? I don't know about the all-time rankings. I'd have to go back to look at that. I don't even know who has. You said who? Really? What about the Niners? Were they? Oh, before. The Niners didn't win one? You said before or after? Oh, after. Yeah, I'm like, ooh. Oh, after 97. Kurt Marshall, Pace. They have to get the okay. Either hold or okay. Not a lot. Okay, that's good then. That's good. The good thing about the offense I played in is that we were a multi-dimensional offense. People like to think we were a running offense and we ran and no, but we went into games where we threw the ball 40 times. We had the ability to morph into whatever offense we needed to morph into. And I don't see that a lot today. You know, you have teams who get stopped. They play into play a big game or play in a game. They are who they are. And if you make them adjust, they can't do anything else. We were able to do everything. We can run. We can throw. We can come out and spread you five wide. We can go and do tight formations, run power game. We can do it all. I mean, with that said, I don't know how you rank us in all time because no one really talks about our offense at all. You know, we scored a lot of points. We weren't like Minnesota's offense or the Patriots' offense or the Rams' offense, but we scored a lot of points.
Yeah. Which running backs do you enjoy watching today? And I'm going to tell you
that it's not – I guess I'm just a – I like running backs, you know. I mean, yeah, I mean, I do it. I like watching them all, man. But Adrian Peterson is always a fun one to watch. I mean, Marshawn, now he's back, is always – He's fun to watch. Zeke last year became a good back to check out. You know, David Johnson with Arizona. You like his style because he's just this guy that can do it all. Lev Bell, that patience he has is just incredible. I don't know how he gets that. You know, Jay Ajayi out of Miami. There's so many backs. I'm a fan of running backs. And what I know is that you rarely have two backs that have similar running styles. So it's like an art. It's like a piece of art. I appreciate the fact that everybody's running style, that they're different. And some guys can do multiple things. Some guys are kind of a little bit more, you know, one-dimensional. But I don't – only thing I want to see, though, I like to see high-volume carries. I miss games where I see guys getting 25, 30 carries. And you know what's coming, and you can't stop it. So when I see a game like that, that's what I'm like, okay, let's get the popcorn out. Let's just watch this game because all they're going to do is feed them. Just keep feeding them.
One other question. Now that you're in the Hall of Fame, who would you like to see in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's two people right now. It's Pat Bowlen, my owner of the Broncos, and Steve Atwater right now. And then we'll work on some other guys. But those two guys I think right now are the guys that I think about the most in terms of trying to, and I'm not sure what I can do. I have no idea what kind of, if I got, yeah, what kind of leverage I have now that I'm in. But, yeah, we'll try to work on those two guys now. Hopefully Pat Bowlen gets in now, but try to get him in as soon as we can.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You brought up an interesting point about workloads, heavy workloads for running back. Do you think that, you know, this running back by committee with the different running styles can throw offenses off timing and they don't really find a groove as easily?
No question. No question. Yeah, absolutely. Here's the problem. It's like different running backs have different running styles, different tempos, different hole entry speeds, different visions. So if you rotate backs, the line sometimes, they have to know who's back there. And they're constantly changing up how they block. Whether you have if you have a power back, you know he's not gonna bounce it. If you got a guy who's going to bounce it, you got to be careful because you can call for holding the line. If you're trying to block a guy, you're trying to power drive him, he throws you, you pull on him, that's a holding penalty because you're trying to block for a power back, but you got a guy who's bouncing. It's just it's the little small things that people don't think about, but also for the backs. If I'm getting 10 carries a game and I know that's all I'm getting, that means I'm going to try to make the best out of 10 carries. Sometimes it's not good to do that, meaning you don't have a chance to set up anything. You can't be patient and say, all right, you know, I know early in the game I'm going to do this, but in the third and fourth quarter, I'm setting them up for the big play later on. You can't do that anymore. You got to try to make – you're trying to turn the three-yard run into a 10-yard run instead of being patient and taking 3 yards. And it just changes the whole flow of a back's – the way a back runs, and that's tough on anybody. Pat and I, a few, you know, Pat and I, we, you remember the American Bowl they had in Mexico City? Had a chance to fly down there with him on his airplane, and we did something where they had a press conference before the game. And, man, it was just a chance to sit and talk with Pat. And that was, I mean, I talked to him before, but not like that. And it just gives you a greater sense for who he is as a man. He's got a huge heart. And Pat was not about the bottom line. He wasn't about, let's see if we can make billions of dollars. Pat was trying to build the best team. He was going to do whatever it took to make sure he gave you what you needed to be successful. And he was about relationships. But he didn't want any credit for it. The other thing, Pat was the first, when I tore my ACL, you know, Pat called me. And I didn't expect the owner to call me after I tore my ACL. You know, that's kind of like, you know, you expect the trainers, maybe a teammate, maybe your position coach to call you. Who's the first one to call me? That little gesture that he did, it meant the world to me. I'd run through a brick wall for that minute. You know, and he was always there, whether I needed extra Super Bowl tickets, San Diego. I was like, Pat, I got a lot of family. He was like, don't worry about it. I got you. And I was able to take a lot of people to the game. You know, he was just a man that if you needed anything, he'd always checked up on you. Just very personable. So I'm hoping he gets in.
Two more questions.
Well, I heard some horror stories from guys who went to other places and then came back and was like, the grass is not greener on the side. No, here's I think is a good testament to Pat Bowlen. Most guys, when you're on a team, you kind of wonder, what does it feel like to play for the 49ers? What does it feel like to play for the Dallas Cowboys? Because you're like, man, I never once had a thought of what does it feel like to play for another team. That to me sums it up, because everything I needed was there. Everything I ever wanted was there. The idea of an owner, of a team that was ran like a first-class organization, was right where I was. So I didn't have the need to think about some other team and how they function and how they went about doing things.
One more. TD, as much as it means you earn this gold jacket, how much did it mean to you to help Pat Bowlen?
Oh, man, you know, that was – the whole year everybody was talking about John Elway, and rightfully so. But we were able to do both, which is great. You don't have to pick. You don't have to say, this is for John. It was for John. It was for Pat. It was for the Broncos fans, the whole organization. It was for everybody. And for Pat to finally get that Lombardi trophy, man, we were so proud to be able to help get that for him.
All right. Last one, real quick. Yeah. Have you already given yourself a chance to envision tonight officially getting that jacket, putting it on, officially for the first time?
Yeah. I've tried to. They all tell you the same thing. They say you can try to visualize it, prepare for it. Said, but once you get it, it's going to be like nothing else you've ever experienced. So I'm just okay. I'm getting ready for it. Yeah.
Thanks,
okay.
Thank you.
Coach Rose, like I said,